would like to discover the millionaire blueprint to living a legendary life? Matt King will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Matt is he's a CEO, investor, and tribe builder obsessed with one idea. Success without community is failure. As CEO of GoBundance, he leads a global network of high-performing entrepreneurs committed to living wealthy, abundant, purpose-driven lives. Through DRO Investments, he manages multiple portfolio companies and helps allocate capital with discipline and long-term vision. So Matt, tell us about the Millionaire Blueprint to Living a Legendary Life.
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu, mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, first of all, Lily, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be with you. I mean, I'm calling in from Austin and you're over there in Qatar doing some amazing stuff, traveling the world. It's so neat and an honor to be here with you. Yeah, I think the first and most important thing is like recognizing and identifying if a millionaire blueprint for your life equals money or not. I think a lot of people assume that millionaire means money, but millionaire doesn't always mean money. Like, I think in order to live an abundant life, we have to pursue more than just money. And to truly be a millionaire in all aspects or all gardens of our life, I think is the most important thing we as humans can chase. Because what I've seen, what I've felt, and what I've learned from others is that money by itself is very empty. It's very fleeting. And I think a lot of people think that money is going to solve their problems and money is going to bring them happiness. But money, Lily, is nothing more than a tool. A tool to be used for good, create memories, create moments, create impact for yourself, for others, employ people. But it's just a tool. It can't love you back. It's impossible to love you back. And so I think it's, you know, I think it's really important to get clear on what like being a millionaire truly means to you and to each and every person listening.
Thank you. Tell us about your 6-step millionaire blueprint to living a legendary life.
I mean, the first one is you have to have a vision for your life. If you don't have a vision for your life, the first person you meet every day will give you theirs. The second thing you have to do is you have to set goals. Like, we have this 5-year vision. Now, what do we have to accomplish in this moment such that that 5-year vision can be true? And I think this is one of the hardest things for people to do, which is step number 3, which is to hold yourself extremely accountable to the goals. Now, a lot of people struggle with this, so I actually give them a little hack, which is step 4, which is engage others to hold you accountable as well. But the hardest thing for us to do, Lily, is to keep our word with ourselves. And so when we ask others to help us and hold us accountable, it improves our ability to actually do the things we say we wanted to do. And then number 5 is like, you have to feed your spirit. Like, you have to do epic things every year that keep you alive, because if you don't, your spirit and your soul will slowly die. And then number 6 is you have to audit. You have to constantly be auditing. Are the things I'm doing taking me closer to the vision or further away? Are the things I'm doing taking me closer to a vision that I no longer am aligned with or inspired with or pulled by, or are they taking me further away? And if you don't go through those 6 steps, it's really hard for you to actually create change and transformation in your life. And that 6th step of going through an audit and understanding where you're at, where you want to be, what's working, what's not working, creates a feedback loop which allows you to make more informed and more empowered choices as you move forward in your life.
Thank you. Tell us about epic goals, like epic things that you put on your vision board, on that kind of fuel your growth. Tell me the kind of things that you put on that kind of vision board in terms of like exciting experiences that, because I think that a lot of people think about, oh, I want this many millions of dollars and this kind of thing. And I think that's not exciting enough for your soul to be like fueled. Whereas if you think about, oh, I'm going to go on this, I don't know, camel ride, or I don't know, whatever it is that you fancy doing, and then you picture yourself there, I think that you kind of may get there a lot faster. Do you agree with that? And tell us about your epic experiences that you put on your vision board every year.
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, I agree with you. I do think having epic experiences as like a target or a waypoint on your journey is something that brings you more energy, but it also brings you closer to the end goal of that 5-year vision because you're working towards something. We as humans like to either run from things or run to things. And so whatever you're at in your life, whatever point you're at, ask yourself, what am I running from and what am I running towards? And if we can put things in front of ourselves that are inspiring, that are exciting, that are epic, to your point, I think we can find a way to run harder, faster, stronger, more excitedly towards the goals that we have and the mission we have for our life. Then I think you have this sort of like do something scary on purpose, do something hard on purpose goal that needs to be there. Both of these things that are epic. But I think one thing on your goal every year needs to scare the heck out of you. It needs to show you that like you're truly capable of whatever you put your mind to. And even if it scares the living heck out of you, you are going to try to accomplish this. And I think what that really does for you, Lily, is it shows you that the things that are scaring you on a day-to-day basis aren't really that scary. For me in 2021, that was riding a bull, not a mechanical bull, a real bull. Like when you sit on the back of a 2,000-pound animal that wants to kill you when the chute opens, it makes firing somebody, negotiating a deal, redlining a legal document, it makes it all seem irrelevant because it was like that 2,000-pound animal literally wanted to kill me. This legal document can't literally kill me. So it's not as scary. And so every year I do something that scares me, that's really hard. That when I first put it on the paper, I'm like, ooh, I don't know how I'm gonna do that. Like, ooh, I don't know if I'm capable of doing that. And the beautiful part about it, Lily, is it's not actually if you truly accomplish it or not. It's just the art and the act of saying you wanted to do something and then going out and trying it. So earlier this year, I set out to run a 100-mile race without training at all. The most I trained leading up to the race was ran 3 miles. I failed. I dropped out at mile 40, but that was because the other big, scary, hairy, audacious goal on my goals was conflicting with the 100-mile race. So in May, I'm getting on my bike at the border of Mexico and Texas, and I'm riding my bike 2,000 miles all the way up to the border of Canada. The why, the reason, the mission is to raise $1 million for overlooked communities and provide direct impact to the people inside those communities. I will ride my bike 150 miles a day for 13 days in a row. Now, I'm not a cyclist. I don't do a bunch of cycling, but I know that by doing something really hard, I will learn a lot about myself, but I also can have another huge impact on other people that we come in contact with by raising the $1 million and giving it all along away along the route. So when I went back to that 100-mile race that I didn't train for, at about mile 7, I tweaked my knee and my Achilles started acting up. Well, I could have pushed through that to see if I could get the 100-mile race done in spite of the Achilles pain. But the problem is, Lily, if my Achilles would have snapped, I couldn't have done the bike ride. So I had to, in that moment, make a really hard decision of do I want to be a man of my word and do this 100 miles like I said I was, or do I want to be a man of my word and honor the $277,000 that we had raised to that point and be able to give that to people in need. And so by just saying I was going to run a 100-mile race without even training, I didn't complete it, but it taught me so many things about life. It showed me so many things about who I am and how I show up in the face of adversity and what I'm truly capable of. It wasn't actually doing the 100 miles that truly mattered. It was saying I was going to do something really scary, showing up at the start line and not knowing what was going to happen, and then just be totally open to what shows up throughout the journey. And again, going back to step number 6, being aware of that feedback loop of what did I learn from this? How can I apply it? What did I learn? How can I apply it?
Thank you. Why is it important to come up with a scary goal every year? And why not just a fun goal?
Because I think humans have a tendency to settle for the status quo of their life. And if you're not constantly testing that ceiling and seeing what's on the other side of that ceiling, how can you truly say that you lived life fully when your time is called? And so I think it's important to do things that scare you because it gives you new perspective, it gives you new experiences. I mean, maybe you're mortified to go skydiving, and maybe you go skydiving and you learn, like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love this. And over the next 10 years, you do 500 skydiving jumps and become a solo jumper. You would have never known that about yourself if you didn't put yourself in a position to be totally scared and see if, do I even like this? Is this really even interesting to me? And the other thing is like, doing something hard, I think, gives us a permission that we can't get anywhere else. And that permission is when you want something bad enough, you have the ability to find the way or make the way to do it. And most people, I believe, spend their entire lives sitting around waiting for that permission. But what I found, Lily, is that permission never comes. It comes in the form of action. And so by taking action and doing things that scare you, you give yourself permission to take risks in other aspects of your life, because you now have the ability to create a concept or a metaphor in your mind going like, I'm really scared to fire this person, but I rolled the bull and that tried to kill me. So like, is firing this person really that scary? Or is it just what needs to be done in this moment, and is riding the bull truly what was scary? And like, I think having that understanding to be able to compare things is a really important tool for us in life.
Thank you. How can someone create amazing, epic experiences for themselves every year? What are some criteria they should be including?
You know, epic, I think, just means outside of the norm. I think when people hear epic, they hear really expensive or really long, and like, epic doesn't need to be those things. Epic could literally be camping in the Grand Canyon because you've never been camping in the Grand Canyon. Like, epic could literally be taking your kids fishing on a Saturday because you've never taken your kids fishing. Epic could literally be like a picnic in the park that you've never been to with no phones and just your family. Like, I think people confuse epic with expensive and long. And really all epic means to me is outside of the normal status quo of my life, like doing something I wouldn't normally do intentionally. And that, by definition, for me personally, is epic.
Thank you. What's the best way to create a vision that will empower you as an entrepreneur and be a tool for growth and development?
I mean, the best way is just to have one. Once you have one, then we can talk about refining it. But I have found in my life that the best five-year vision reads almost like a script to a Disney book or a Disney movie. And it's painted 5 years in the past. And so it'd be like, wow, the last 5 years have been incredible. Melissa is an amazing mother, and here's what she's doing at home, and here's how we spend our date nights, and my health is better than it's ever been. I still love to golf, and I love to coach the kids in soccer, and they all love swimming, and here's what the business looks like, here's what the income looks like, here's where we spend our time, here's where we spend our energy, here's where we give back, here's where we go to church, here's what the community looks like. And you literally write it as if you were reading your journal 5 years from today. And you start with the things that are most important to you, and you just like stream of consciousness, let it go, and let it go on that piece of paper so that you can actually review it and say, wow, does this feel good or not? And if it does feel good, that's amazing. Now your encouragement is just to read it 12 times this year. If it doesn't feel good, that's amazing. Just erase what doesn't feel good, rewrite that section, and then read it 12 times a year.
Thank you. What's the best way to find a network of empowering buddies that hold you accountable to fulfill everything you've ever wanted?
I mean, there's a lot of easy communities that you can just plug and play into. You know, you can always find a way to build your own or make your own. But I have always found like these places already exist. I just have to find the right group for me. I'm the CEO of GoBundance, which is a group just like this. And people find it and understand like living an abundant life is more than just money. It's about health. It's about genuine contributions. It's about bucket list adventures. It's about authentic relationships. Like, that's what life is truly about. But for each person, like, what they're seeking might look different. There might be somebody listening to this that only cares about the financial piece. And I would warn you and caution you, but if that's all you care about, there are groups that talk about building financial success and money and money and money. Then you have to go through an audit, like what's the right group culturally for you? Now that forces you to recognize like what kind of a culture do I want to be around? Do I want to be around a group that's radically candid, or do I want to be around a group of yes men that will just tell me what I want to hear and encourage me and sing my praises? But I think you just have to spend time intentionally asking and looking for it. And most likely somebody in your network somewhere is connected to a group. You just have to ask enough places. It might be the banker, it might be the insurance rep, might be your best friend, it might be one of your employees, but like, people are a part of these communities. You just have to ask. And then you have to keep asking once you get into those communities to make sure that there isn't something else out there that would better serve you in your life.
Thank you. What's the difference between building a rich life and a legendary life?
I mean, when I think about rich, it's just money. I mean, and again, like, I don't really have any interest in building a legendary life. I have interest in like leading an epic life, like being a man who lives on purpose and leads others to live on purpose as well. Like that's inspiring to me. But like legend and rich, like those words to me just have like a negative connotation and are like rooted in ego. And I think they're very like, it's very dangerous to look at words that mean something to other people and try to apply that same meaning for you to those words. What's beautiful about words is words only have the meanings we give it. Like there's some people, Lily, that if you said, hey, do you like the word moist? They'd be like, oh, I hate that word. It drives me crazy. There's other people that'd be like, that's the only way to describe cake. I absolutely love that word. Like the same word and two humans can have a totally different opinion about it. So when you talk about living a rich life or a legendary life, like those things to me are too much rooted in ego. Like I just want to lead an epic life. Like I want to be a leader of the people around me, of myself, to like do epic things, which again for me means challenging the status quo for my life and doing things outside of the norm.
Thank you. Why is having a community essential to any entrepreneur's success?
I mean, I think there's a million people who have said this a million different ways, but at the end of the day, the quality of our life is in direct proportion to the quality of the people we spend the most time with. Like you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And so you have to have a peer group that is up to cool things, that is willing to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And I think if you're on the journey of entrepreneurship or on the business journey, it's a very lonely journey. Like there are not many people that are going to be calling you at 10 o'clock at night, 2 in the morning when you can't sleep going like, hey man, I just want to check in. How are you doing? And so if you can find a community of like-minded individuals that are willing to hold you accountable and willing to serve as your board of directors on your mission for your life, I think it's like jet fuel. It like supercharges the engine and can take you to heights that you never thought were possible or to heights that you couldn't take yourself alone. But I think like humans, generally speaking, are relationship-based creatures. Like we like having relationships. And so if a relationship with other people up to cool things brings you more energy, then you should have that in your life. If it drains from you and it takes from you, then you shouldn't have it. But I have yet to meet somebody that has gotten around really cool people and gone, I really don't like these people. I want to go back and sit in my house by myself.
What's the harsh truth really successful entrepreneurs learn after they make it?
It wasn't all about the money. People think it's all about the money, and it's not all about the money. The money's good for the good the money can do, but it's just a tool. And I think most entrepreneurs think they make it, and they look around, and they look at their balance sheet, and they look at their bank statements, and then they look around their house, and they realize, like, it was never about the money. Like the money was just the object I was chasing so that I could feel a certain way or have a certain experience. But the money itself, it was never about that.
Thank you. Are most people chasing money because they don't know what else to chase?
No, I think most people are chasing money because in the society and the culture we live in, it's a status symbol. And it's an access symbol. Like most people are chasing it because they think it will bring them the significance and the recognition that they desire. And that's just because that's what society says. I mean, go to Instagram. How many pictures does some random person on a private jet, how many views does that get versus a person driving their, you know, Toyota Corolla into work, right? Everybody wants to see the glitz and the glamour and the fame and the beauty. What they don't understand is 99% of the people that are posting those damn pictures don't own the plane, aren't even flying the plane, and the plane is just sitting on the ground and they're paying an hourly rate to take photos in it. But we are trained to think that that money can provide me that experience and that's the good life. Look at how great that is.
Thank you. What are the harshest truths you've learned about yourself while living this legendary life?
You know, there's a couple of them. The first one would be like, I'm incredibly stubborn. When I'm on the pursuit of a goal, Lily, like I can put my blinders on and just go all out at that goal. But that means my wife and my children suffer. That means my body could suffer. That means the business could suffer. So like I've really had to spend a lot of time reflecting on my stubbornness or my hard-headed nature and say like, am I chasing the right things here? Does this really make sense for me? The other thing I would say is just, I'm a very ambitious person, which I think is a gift, but it can also be a curse. And what I mean by that is like, I am really confident that whatever I put my mind to, I can achieve. But having that sense of confidence can be dangerous because you can find yourself committing to riding your bike 2,000 miles from Mexico to Canada without training a single day and riding a bike before you make this commitment publicly. And then in the first training ride, you might find out you actually hate biking, but you've already told the world you're going to do it, so you have to just do it. So like, I think like having that big, bold ambition is a really good gift, but I've also found in my life, it can be a curse if you're not careful.
Thank you. How does the couple create a legendary life together? Imagine that every person in the couple has a different idea of what a legendary life means. Like, for example, let's say if you had this idea of, oh my God, I'm going to do this marathon for this many miles and whatever, I would be like, oh, that's fantastic. I mean, I would be very supportive. But on the other hand, I would think, you know, on Saturday nights, I'm going to be all alone watching a movie, or I'm going to be all alone doing, I don't know, my exercise and whatever. I'd prefer to have you in bed. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe my legendary life would include something else that you perhaps wouldn't be able to be part of because you have your own goals. How do you create this power couple legendary life?
I think it's all about communication. I mean, the beautiful thing about relationship and about being a couple is you aren't supposed to be the same person. You aren't supposed to want the same things all the time. Like, you're two unique humans coming together to make one amazing life. And so the only way to do that is to communicate. And like, what does my wife need? What do I need? What does my wife want? What does I want? And like, let's communicate. And that means sometimes I'm going to have to give a little bit more. And that means sometimes she's going to have to give a little bit more. And recognizing that the only way for us to manage it together is through communication and through conversations, without resentment, without judgment towards each other, without getting triggered. Just like, hey, I am feeling, and here's what I need. Hey, I recognize this is how I showed up. I'm not proud of that. Can I have a redo? And like, just having clear communications is, I think, the only way to do it.
Thank you. If you lost everything today, could you make it all back? And if so, what would you do differently?
I mean, yeah, I could make it all back. And the thing I would do differently is I would surround myself with the right people earlier in the journey and serve them endlessly. I did it to a certain extent, but I did it sort of from afar. I would literally find the most successful people in whatever area of business and life I wanted to pursue, and I would go work for them for free for a year or 2 years, learn everything I could, be of absolute service to them from top to bottom, soup to nuts, like do everything that could possibly be done to make their life and their business better. And I would just trust that, like, through the service, it would open doors and create opportunities for me to build it back.
Thank you. Is becoming a millionaire more about skill, environment, or standards, or something else?
It's all about your environment. I think your skills are irrelevant. Everything in life can be learned, except work ethic. I think it's all about who you surround yourself with. And if you surround yourself with the right people, they will take care of the standards and they will take care of all the other pieces. If you put a seed in fertile soil and you care for it, it will grow. But if you set that seed on concrete and you water it perfectly, it will never grow. Like, we are meant to be in the right environment to possibly grow and bloom and become the versions of ourselves we desire. And so it's all about who you surround yourself with.
Thank you. What kind of entrepreneur do you have to become to live on a legendary life? What kind of person do you need to be?
I think you have to be a multiplier. And by that, I mean, like, you have to be willing to delegate and elevate people inside of your organizations so that you can, like, manage your entire world rather than, like, the micro mini tasks that exist on the day-to-day basis. I think you have to have an abundant mindset. Like, you can't get lost in scarcity of, like, if I pay this person a dollar, that's a dollar less I make. You have to be, like, an abundant human. And then you have to be just endlessly curious. Curious as to what's going well, curious as to what's going wrong, curious as to who do you need to become, who do you need to hire, who do you need to fire. Like, you just have to sit in curiosity and questions as much as you possibly can.
Thank you. What are the top values you need to have so that you can live a legendary life?
I mean, I don't think you need to have any values. I think you have to want to have the values. And if you want to have the values, then whatever those values are for you will be your top five. I believe that integrity is one of those values. Like, your word is all you have at the end of the day. And so regardless of who I'm talking to, my assumption would be that their word matters to them. And so that would be one of their five values. But I might value competitiveness and you might value collaboration. Your perspective might help you achieve success. My perspective might help me achieve success. And so I think if we get lost in trying to focus on the five values, like, we get lost in being our true authentic selves. And I think really the most important thing to do is to be your true authentic self and show up like that every single day, so that others can understand what to expect from you, how to hold you accountable, how to work with you, how to collaborate with you, because they know how you're going to show up each and every day.
Thank you. Are most people unwilling or incapable of doing what it takes?
Unwilling.
Thank you. Tell us, what are some of the things that awakened the Titan within you?
You know, for me, the biggest one was losing my friend when I was 22 years old. Watching one of my really good friends die of a pulmonary embolism. He was 25, fit as can be, athletic, healthy, all of the things. Was waiting to have surgery on his ACL and got a blood clot and it killed him. And that really, awoken the giant inside of me, or the Titan inside of me, I think is the word you use, because it showed me that time is the most valuable asset that any one of us has. And it's the only asset on our balance sheet that we never truly know the balance of. Like, I never know when today is going to be my last day or tomorrow is going to be my last day. And so I literally, since that moment, have lived every day like tomorrow's not guaranteed. I've lived every opportunity like I don't know if I'll ever get this again. And I've poured my blood, sweat, and tears into everything I've done, because I look at having the opportunity to pursue that as a gift and as a blessing that my friend who passed away never got the opportunity to.
Thank you. What's one behavior that keeps most entrepreneurs average?
The behavior would be doing things. Like, I think most entrepreneurs think that they need to do the thing, and their behavior is doing the things. I think the thing that makes most entrepreneurs not average is having the ability to hire and recruit top talent that can actually do the things better than them. And the entrepreneur finds the way to let go or relinquish control of those things that are being done, so that together they can achieve more. It's kind of that multiplication effect. If, like, I'm the only one doing, I have 24 hours in a day, but if you and I, Lily, go into business together and we're both doing, now we have 48 hours in a day. If we bring in another person, that's 24 more hours. So I think if you really want to go to the next level as an entrepreneur, you have to understand what it takes to recruit, hire, and retain top talent, and delegate and let them own those zones of genius for themselves.
Thank you. How do you build discipline when motivation disappears?
Man, discipline is day by day. Motivation's always going to disappear. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Discipline is just built one habit, one day at a time. It's like brick by brick. And I think a lot of people try to go from, you know, running, from sitting on the couch to running a marathon. And in reality, the only way to do that is to be disciplined. And every morning when you wake up, you're going to put on your running shoes. Do that for 15 days. Then the next 15 days, every morning after you put on your running shoes, you're going to walk out the door, walk to the end of the driveway and back. Now, all of a sudden, the next thing you know, 3 months from now, you're disciplined to wake up, put your shoes on, run out the door, run 5 miles, come back inside. And, like, discipline has to be built step by step, brick by brick, day by day. And it has to be chunked down into bite-sized pieces. And there has to be a reward on the other side of it. So, like, we get these hits of dopamine in our life when we open our phone, when we scroll social media. And so that's why we get addicted to it. So create little hits of dopamine around the disciplines you want to have. It can be as simple as printing out on a piece of paper, work out for 30 minutes. And every day you do it, you put a check mark, you put a tally mark, or you cross off the day. When you do that act of crossing off or checking off or highlighting, you create that little hit of dopamine and you become addicted to every day. Do I get to cross it off? Do I get to cross it off? Do I get to cross it off?
Thank you. What's a principle you use that most entrepreneurs ignore?
A principle I use, for me, it's curiosity. A lot of people want to get to the answer, and a lot of entrepreneurs want to get to the answer very quickly. I don't mind getting to the answer, but I also understand that the answer in and of itself is limiting. Like, once we have an answer, there are no other possibilities. And so I would much rather get very comfortable with living in curiosity and residing in the question and using the question to empower our decisions than I would pursuing an answer just for the sake of having an answer.
Why do you think success without impact is empty?
It's just not all about the money. I think if you ask anybody who has achieved a super level of success, you know, they get the money and you ask them, like, how do you feel? if all they have is the money, they're going to stay empty. I think you can look at Steve Jobs as an example. Like, the guy had all the money in the world. He still died of cancer. Now, he made an incredible impact on the world with the technologies and the tools and the infrastructure he built as the CEO of Apple, the founder of Apple. But success without that impact is just empty, because it's just money, and money can't love you back. It can't call and say happy birthday. It can't call and ask how your day is. It's like just a tool, and the tool will leave you feeling empty if there is no impact by using that tool.
Thank you. What's the real reason most people never reach their potential?
They're waiting for permission, and permission is never going to come.
Thank you. How can someone stop being addicted to comfortable situations?
I think it goes back to having that one scary goal on your calendar every year. Like, if you do one scary thing and you recognize how you feel after the scary thing, in spite of the fear, in spite of the chaos, it'll be very hard for you to become addicted to the status quo or the basic boring stuff, because you'll be so fired up. You'll have so many endorphins running through your body from doing the scary thing. You'll become addicted to that, and it will just cause you to change the ceiling that currently exists inside of your life.
Thank you. What should people eliminate from their life immediately?
Toxic, negative people. Life's too short. Like, if people are draining your energy and they're toxic, just eliminate them. And you don't have to eliminate them by calling them and saying, "You suck, I'm eliminating you," but you eliminate them by your choices and your actions. When they call, you maybe don't answer. When they ask you to go out, you maybe say no. Like, you just slowly create space and distance from the people who are sucking energy from your life.
Thank you. How can someone raise their standard so they can have a legendary life?
Their standard in what? Their standard in humans, their standard in themselves. Like, what standard?
I mean, like, their standards in terms of like what they accept from people, the boundaries and so on.
Yeah, I think it goes back to step six. Like, you have to constantly be reflecting on your life. Like, did you like it? Did you not like it? Did it serve? Did it not serve? Did you feel better? Did you feel worse? And once you recognize how you felt from the thing, then you can go back and say, okay, what standard in my life is accepting this? And do I want to change that standard?
How do people from your GoBundance community, how did they grow? And how did their lives become legendary? Tell us some case studies of entrepreneurs that have managed to live more extraordinary lives.
Oh, I mean, there's so many, Lily. There's the guy who came in thinking he wanted more money, realizing his marriage was about to fail, and recognizing that the way he was showing up as a husband and as a father wasn't working, and he totally transformed his relationship, and they just celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. There's the guy who came in 200 pounds overweight that went on a crazy weight loss journey and now is fitter than he's ever been, which has allowed him to be way more active with his kids, going surfing with his kids, doing all this stuff. There's the guys who came in with a failing business and got the clarity and the feedback and the accountability they needed to make the hires and make the fires that existed inside of their business to take the business to the next level. There's the entrepreneurs who are working really hard, achieving a ton of level of success, but were totally burned out and realized like the bucket list adventures was all that they were missing in their life. And by putting one cool trip on the calendar, they had energy for the next 11 and a half months to accomplish whatever they desired and put their heart and mind and soul and spirit into any project that popped up. There's the people that recognized if they gave away $1 million a year, they would actually make $3 million a year, not just $1 million a year. And so they were making $1.2 million. They made a commitment to give away $1 million that year. The next year they made three. They did it again. Then they made four. Then they did it again. Then they made five. Like, the stories are just endless. And it's all about challenging the status quo for your life and surrounding yourself with people who are willing to ask you really good questions and not rush to an answer and not rush to judgment and not sit in resentment, but just say, "So Lily, what has to happen this year such that your life was epic in 2026? And then they just shut up and see what you say. And then you say, "Go to Qatar." I'm like, "Really? Go to Qatar? That would make this year epic." "Well, I don't know." "Okay, well, what else could be true? What else does that look like?" And it's just about sitting in that curiosity and helping people discover and reflect on what they truly want from life.
Thank you. How can entrepreneurs eliminate toxic people from their lives if those toxic people are their family, and they need to be talking to their family, especially if it's like their mother and father? And or perhaps their wives and, you know, husbands and so on, or their coworkers that they feel they have to be, you know, collaborating with because it's the business that they have.
I think you just have to create boundaries. So if there's a toxic person in your life that's a family member, you just have to have boundaries. Maybe you don't take a call from them if your energy is feeling below a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Maybe you only talk to them on Sundays after you go to church because that's when you feel best and can show up the most present. Like, you just have to create boundaries. And the boundaries don't necessarily eliminate the person, but they create like guidelines or rules by which the connection can happen. So me, for instance, I love my grandma to death. She's an amazing human being. But if she calls me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I just don't answer the phone because I'm in work mode. I'm busy. I've got a million things going on. And if there was something truly wrong, grandma wouldn't call me. Like, I'm not her phone a friend lifeline person. So I think it's just about creating boundaries and then holding yourself accountable to those boundaries that you set with that person.
Thank you. What are some health goals or some health hacks that you've leveraged to become a more productive and more successful entrepreneur so you can feel like you're truly living?
It's all about what time you wake up. The most important thing, I think, is how you start your day. If you win your mornings, you can win your day. So I get up every single morning at 3:07. I find time to work out. I find time to journal. I find time to sauna, cold plunge, red light therapy. And I find time for me. And it's like when you're flying on an airplane, the flight attendant will say before they take off, in case the cabin loses pressure, put your oxygen mask on first before helping somebody else. And that's because if you don't have oxygen and you can't breathe, how can you help somebody else? I think the same is true with your day. If you wake up early and you get the things done that bring you energy, that fill you up, that light you up, that make you a better version of you, you have more time, more energy, and more space for the others that you come in contact with that day.
Thank you. Are there any health tools like hyperbaric chamber therapy or any other therapies that have made a massive difference?
Yeah, I'm a huge believer in cold plunging. I use the plunge. I use it almost every single day. I'm a big believer in saunas. I prefer the dry saunas, not the red light saunas, because they get hotter. But I just think sweating and then shocking the system with cold water have been game changers for me. From a body fat percentage, from a mental clarity perspective, from a ridding the body of toxins perspective, from an inflammation perspective. And so those are two longevity hacks that I won't give up.
Thank you. How can entrepreneurs enroll their children into their legendary life and provide a legendary life for their children as well?
I mean, I don't think you can really enroll them. I think you can invite them along on the journey, but it's ultimately their decision if they're going to enroll or not. I think it's our job to show our kids experiences and options and create space for them where they have the freedom and flexibility to choose what resonates with them. Now, we as parents have to set some guardrails and say, no, that'll put you in jail, or no, that's illegal, or no, that will get you hurt. But like, if our kid says, I don't want to play soccer, but we feel like they should be playing soccer, it's not our job to say, no, you're playing soccer. But if we feel like, hey, one of our values as a family is we're going to be in a sport, we can then go to the kid and say, hey, I totally understand you don't want to play soccer. We have a core value that we're always going to be doing something active with our body. What do you want to do instead? Do you want to do rock climbing? Do you want to do tennis? Do you want to do horseback riding? Like, what else do you want to do? And we create space for kids to choose. And I think that's all we can really do. And I think if we really think that we have the ability to enroll them in the vision we have for them, for their lives, we're going to be brutally disappointed as they get older and as they start to rebel against the system because it was never what they truly wanted.
Thank you. How can an entrepreneur who has always had, you can say, a rich life, and who now, let's say, is working with you and wants to have a legendary life, how can an entrepreneur like that enroll in a way his wife, who is a traditional wife that doesn't really want to do anything special, that doesn't want to have a legendary life, that just wants to like do the same old thing?
You know, I don't think you can enroll them. I think like they're two separate human beings with two different wants and desires. But I think what that entrepreneur can do is he can have clear communications as to what his needs are in order for the relationship to still work. And that might mean I really need for us to be able to go on one really cool trip a year in order for like this to stay working. And if your spouse says, no, I can't do that, well, then you have to make a hard decision of like, is this still working and does this still serve? But I don't think you can enroll them. I think the only thing to do is accept your spouse and your children for that fact, but accept them for who they are and just learn to communicate around your wants, your needs, your desires, empower them to do the same. and then listen to those conversations and make decisions accordingly.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Yeah, if you go to GoBundance.com, you can learn all about GoBundance at MattKing.ATX on Instagram. BackTheRide.com is another place people can find out more about the bike ride we're doing to give away $1 million to overlooked communities. Or if you just Google GoBundance, you'll find us.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.